Hey everyone, thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a personal message, or contacting us at the church office. Praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way through his word. Blessings.
Before we read the passage that I'm going to be preaching from this morning, it's interesting to me that in this year 2024, Jesus tells us in Matthew 24:24 that deception would be so great in the last days that if possible, even the elect of God would be deceived. And that's why I'm preaching this message. That's why I believe it's absolutely essential for us to be able to hear and to discern the voice of God. I believe our lives and our future moving forward depends upon it. Yet there are people all around who they don't even believe that God can speak to someone. I'm working on a message for next Sunday morning on the various ways in which God speaks. That's going to be part two or a follow-up to this message that I'm sharing today. And there may even be a part three. I haven't gotten that far yet. For now, though, I want to get right to the heart of the issue with the words of Jesus that we find recorded in the Gospel according to John, chapter 10, beginning with verse 1. Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." Now I'm going to read verse 3, and all three of my points for this message come right out of verse 3. "To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." And then to reinforce, to underscore what we've already read, look also at what Jesus said in verse 14 and verse 27 of that same chapter. In John 10, 14, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own." And then in verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Now, what was very familiar in biblical times is not quite as familiar to us. Shepherds and sheep do not occupy our thoughts very much until we turn to the pages of the Bible, because the Bible is filled with shepherd, sheep, language, and images. Over and over again, God likens his relationship to his people to that of a shepherd and his sheep. We know, of course, that many of the Old Testament patriarchs were shepherds. Moses and David were shepherds by trade. And we know that David, as you know, wrote the beautiful 23rd Psalm. describing the kind of relationship that a shepherd has with his sheep. And David was writing from the perspective of a sheep, writing about his shepherd. And he said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff. They comfort me." Many of the Old Testament prophets, though they may not have been shepherds by trade, they used some of this same shepherd sheep language and images to describe God's relationship to us, His people. We read in, for example, in Isaiah, look at this beautiful, I want to share with you two beautiful passages here. Isaiah in chapter 40, verse 11. "He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart." Don't you just love that? I just think that's so beautiful. "He gently leads those who have young." And then God, speaking through the prophet Ezekiel, said, "I will feed my flock. I will lead them to rest." How many of you today need some rest, true spiritual rest in your soul? God says, "I will lead them to rest, declares the Lord. I will seek the lost, bring back the scattered, bind up the broken, and strengthen the sick." And so we see all of this in the Old Testament, but then we turn to the New Testament. And not only does Jesus say that He's the good shepherd, but then Peter, later in 2 Peter, he tells us that Jesus is the chief shepherd of our souls. Jesus referred to His disciples as His flock. And one day, when He was looking out over Jerusalem, He saw all the people there. He saw them scattered abroad like sheep without a shepherd. If there's one thing today that we know about sheep, sheep need a shepherd. Sheep are lost without a shepherd. Sheep are in danger without a shepherd. Sheep are helpless without a shepherd. And today, when I look around at this world, I see all kinds of people. They're scattered abroad. They're lost. They're helpless because they're not hearing and following the shepherd. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. My sheep hear my voice and follow me." I would like for you to notice with me three important characteristics of a shepherd-sheep relationship. Number one, the sheep hear the shepherd's voice. Not only do they hear the shepherd's voice, but they know the shepherd's voice. And they follow the voice of the shepherd. Their lives depended upon it. That they would be able to discern between the shepherd's voice and other voices. And the same is true for us today. It's critically important that we hear and discern the voice of God, the voice of the Holy Spirit, the voice of Jesus speaking to us, because there are other voices speaking. The satanic voice is speaking today. You say, "Pastor, does the devil speak to people?" Yes. Yes. The devil spoke to Eve in the garden. Has God said, "You surely shall not die"? The devil spoke to Jesus in the wilderness of temptation. The devil is speaking today. He's the prince of the power of the air. He's sending out his signals, his messages. He's whispering into the ears of people and into their hearts. And many people are listening, even though they may not even recognize it, what's going on. But they're listening to the devil and following the devil. Paul, writing to the Corinthian church, look at this. Paul was talking about these things that I'm talking about this morning. He said, but I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. You know, we've been talking about keeping things simple, simple church. Our leaders have been reading a book, Simple Church. We need to keep it simple. Listen, in these days, these complex days that we're living in, keep it simple. Watch and pray, hear and obey. If you just do that, watch and pray and hear and obey, you're going to be safe. You're going to make it. Paul went on to say there, 2 Corinthians 11:14. He said about this spiritual battle, he said, I'm not surprised. Even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Yes, the satanic voice is speaking. Also, the secular voice is speaking today. And often it's hard to separate the satanic voice from the secular voice because often the satanic voice is behind the secular voice. But however, when I say the secular voice, I'm talking about the philosophies, the worldview, the mindset, the popular consensus of the world. When the world says, hey, everyone else is doing it, just follow along. Be conformed to the world. That's what the world, the secular voice, is saying. The Bible calls it in the first Psalm, the counsel of the ungodly. And that is everywhere today. The counsel of the ungodly. The beckoning of the world. I believe that this is what led Esau to sell his birthright. The call of the secular world, his flesh, his desires. He sold his birthright. Demas forsook Paul because he loved this present world. But here's what the Bible says. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Now look at this. By testing. The Bible tells us to test the spirits to see if they're of God. By testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so, these voices are speaking other voices. Then there's the religious voice, okay? And this may be the most deadly of all. Look what the Bible says here. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. Isn't that what we have today in many parts of the church world? We have the religious voice speaking lies and deceptions to people, twisting the scripture to accommodate the world. The Bible talks about them as those who have a form of godliness but deny the power. And the Bible tells us to stay away from that type of deception. A lot of people are being deceived today. How many of you know today that the devil has been to Bible college? The devil's been to seminary. The devil loves theology. The devil loves religion. And the devil quotes scripture. He quoted scripture to Jesus, did he not? In the wilderness. And so to me, this is so deadly. This corruption from the inside. You see, here's what I find as I study the New Testament and as I read between the lines. You know, there's no doubt that Jesus was concerned about the outside forces concerning the church, and the Apostle Paul, no doubt, had some concerns about outside forces coming against the church. But here's the thing. The church can handle all of that when the church is founded upon the rock and has the right foundation, and we're hearing the voice of the shepherd and we're following him. Jesus said the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church when the church is built on that solid foundation, the rock of God's truth and power. But I find that when I read the things that Jesus said, the things that Paul said, I think their greatest concern was from the inside. From the inside. Jesus said this, look, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. They look like sheep. They talk like sheep. But they're not sheep. They're not hearing and following the voice of the shepherd. And then when Paul had to leave the church of Ephesus, it was a tearful departing. But here was Paul's admonition to the church of Ephesus. He said, therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. And then Paul said this, look at this. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. I remember reading a story many years ago of an archaeologist who was in the Middle East, and he was doing some research there, and while he was digging in the surface of the earth, he looked off a ways and he saw three shepherds bringing their individual flocks down to a watering hole to receive some water. And there the sheep all mingled together. But then after some time, as this archaeologist was watching these shepherds, one of the shepherds stood off at a distance and he cried out in Arabic, words that are translated, follow me. And his sheep separated themselves from the other sheep and followed him. And not long after that, then the second one did it. So the archaeologist went down to the remaining shepherd and he said, will your sheep ever follow someone else? And the shepherd said, oh yes, but only a sick sheep. A sick sheep will follow anyone. So here's what I'm saying today. We as sheep, we as God's people, we need to take care of the inside. If you take care of your inside, and if we take care of the inside of the church, then we're safe in the sheepfold. Amen? And it's so critical that we do that. And moving forward, that's why God, I believe, prompted my heart to give this message today, because we are going to have to be absolutely certain that we're hearing God, not the voice of the church, not the voice of other Christians per se, the voice of God. What is God saying? What is he speaking to us? Here's the second point. First of all, the sheep hear the shepherd's voice. Secondly, the shepherd calls the sheep by name. I love this. It's so personal. He calls the sheep by name. When I was reading that this morning, I remembered a verse that I love in Isaiah 43, verse 1. Thus says the Lord who created you, I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. And I want you to look at this. Sometime when you get a chance, read the entire 139th Psalm because it's so personal. But I just want to share the first three verses here in this message. The psalmist said, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You see, if you're his sheep, he knows. He knows you. He knows your name. You know him. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. You know, when I was thought about this, like calling of a name, sometimes I try to think of illustrations, and sometimes I come up with some pretty corny illustrations. But I started thinking, okay, if you all have a pet, you know, maybe you have a pet, a dog. You know, your dog, hopefully, when you call your dog's name, your dog knows your voice. Now, if you have a cat, you might as well give it up because cats don't think they hear or obey any voice. But now, if you're a cat lover, don't write me any letters or anything like that. But you see, he knows his own. He calls us by name. You know, when I look at the ministry of Jesus, yes, Jesus drew big crowds. There were times when there were thousands of people. But when I look at the New Testament, I see the heart of Jesus' ministry, not the crowd, but the individual. One day when Jesus was walking along, the crowd of people were pressing in all around him. He came to a certain tree, a sycamore tree, and he stopped there. Zacchaeus was out on a limb. And he said, Zacchaeus, he called him by name, Zacchaeus. I've come to be a guest at your house today. And so, you know, if you ever want to invite yourself over for lunch at someone's house, you can use this as a scriptural basis for, you know, like, hey, I'm going to your house today for lunch. Just don't try that with me. No, you're welcome if you want to come. By the way, this past week I was telling someone, man, I experienced a miracle. This past week, after the snow, I came up to the house and my driveway was shoveled. And I thought, man, my wife paid. I saw some boys down at the end of the street shoveling snow. I thought she paid them, you know, $20, $30 or whatever. I don't know what you pay for shoveling snow, but she did it. My wife shoveled the snow. Okay, now pray for me because I got to go home today after that. But it's the, you know, I was thinking of this, the individual. He calls his own sheep by name. And I thought of when Mary Magdalene went to the tomb after the resurrection and she didn't recognize Jesus. She thought that he was the gardener. But then, you remember what happened? Jesus spoke her name. He spoke her name. She recognized his voice once he spoke her name. So my question today is, have you ever heard the voice of God? Have you ever heard him calling your name? Maybe he's calling your name today. I've been praying all week that someone would be saved today. Maybe he's calling your name. If you'll listen for his call. Here's the third and final point that I want to make today. And this is very important. At the end of verse 3, the shepherd leads the sheep out. Look again at this. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Now here's what happens. When he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Australia is known for sheep. There are tons of shepherding and sheep in Australia. And I was looking at this one story where out in a rural area in Australia, there was a shepherd that was being accused by another shepherd of stealing sheep. And so out in this rural community, the judge thought, I've got to find out what the truth is here. And so you know what he did? He brought some of those sheep in question into the courtroom. And then he said to the man who was accused of stealing those sheep, he said, I want you to go out those doors and down the hallway and you call the sheep. And the man sheepishly got up and he went down through the doors, down the hallway, and he called. The sheep didn't budge. And then to the shepherd who was making the accusation, the judge said, now you go through those doors and down the hallway and call the sheep. And when he did, the sheep immediately went through the doors at the call of that shepherd to follow the shepherd. And here's the thing today. Here's the good news of the gospel. Jesus, the good shepherd, our shepherd, he leads us out of the courtroom of condemnation. Because of the sacrifice, the atonement that he made, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Is that my mic? See, I got too excited preaching. There we go. I'm coming to a close. If you hear his voice and follow him, Jesus will lead you out of sin. He'll lead you out of guilt. He'll lead you out of that condemnation. He'll lead you out of fear. He'll lead you out of darkness, despair, and death. And I put a few lines there because you can fill the blank. What do you need him to lead you out of today? I'm going to close with another verse in the 10th chapter of the Gospel according to John, verse 10, a well-known verse. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. There was a tourist in the Middle East who saw a man driving sheep like a herd of cattle. So he went up to him and he said, I've been told that shepherds in this part of the world, they lead their sheep. And the man said, you're correct, but I'm not the shepherd, I'm the butcher. And the devil is the butcher. The devil drives people. He drives people to despair. He drives people to death and destruction. But Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly.
Thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a direct message, or contacting us at the church office. We are praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way this week through his word. Blessings.